Hi again, everybody. Jungle Jim Jerome here with Russ Cortinel from the Suspendables on today's show.
Hello.
We're very excited. The St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup, and there have been some celebrations, my friends. Okay.
Oh, my God.
There's been some good ones, Rusty. Also, the Raptors won the NBA title. Of course, the Toronto Raptors, what we're talking about, if you're listening from other parts in the world. It's the first time in 25 years the franchise in existence has won. A Canadian team won the NBA title, which is crazy. Rusty, you're here, right?
Yes, I am.
Listen, Russ.
Yes.
Okay, you live in, you holiday. Well, that's all you do, actually, is you holiday. That's all you do, okay? Like I told you, your life's like a, it's just like some big crazy beer commercial, okay? And
wine commercial.
I just talked to you. I just spoke to you. You know, here's the drill, folks. Here's how these shows go down. Russ is in either L.A. or Gazer Ranch or Puerto Vallarta or Hawaii. Okay, so we have equipment. We phone the tech guy. He gets on the line with both of us. I can do that. I can merge the three calls. We do a conference call. He gets on our screens and he whips away for 5 minutes and sets us up. So, but what I do is I call Russ first, okay? I call you and I say, Russ, are you ready to go? you go, I'll be ready to go in 4 minutes, Jim. I just have to get in my car and drive home. Okay, if it's a four-minute ride, Russ, that means getting in your car, turning it on, unrolling the windows. How come you're not fucking walking, you lazy slob?
I did yoga today.
Well, who gets in their car to drive 3 minutes? Jesus. Anyway.
When you called me, I was sitting with Ray Whitney at the tree barn, his dad, who you know very well.
Very well. From absolutely.
Edmonton, yeah. So they said, say hi to you.
Yeah.
And Liz is a member.
Floyd.
Yeah.
Floyd is his dad. Yeah.
He's on a biking trip with all his buddies. They're going to listen to the show. They love the podcast.
Harley so, guy is yeah. Well, I'll give you the background behind Ray Whitney. So Ray Whitney is an Edmonton guy who was the stick boy in the Edmonton Oilers locker room. He was a hockey player as a kid. And he's one of the guys who Wayne let tape his stick, Wayne Gretzky. And he was a stick boy. And his father, Floyd, who was a cop, I think he's retired now, but he was the practice goalie for the Oilers. Yeah. He was one of the and if you ever hear Floyd tell it, he goes, You're just an absolute victim of these guys wiring pucks at you all day long. But his dad, Floyd's a great, great guy. And of course, Ray Whitney went on to a very, very successful career. You know, he was back in the day, one of the smallest guys in the league. He won a Stanley Cup with Carolina, right?
He did. Yeah. He told me a good story about winning the cup too at the tree bar.
I want to hear it. So we'll talk more about that today. But Ray Whitney is now retired, and you guys are retired in this place called Gazer Ranch in Idaho. We talk about it all the time. I'm hanging out at the fucking tree bar. I'm at the tree bar. Shut your hole, okay? Shut your hole.
Okay.
All right. St. Louis wins the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Rusty, what do you think about that, all the whole hoopla and everything?
Oh, man, it was so great watching the series. I mean, I feel for Cam Neely. He's a very good friend of mine. And, you know, they
President
look like
the
they're
going to
win.
Yep.
They look like they're going to win. But I do enjoy a team that hasn't won a championship winning for the first time. And, you know, I'm so happy for St. Louis. And, you know, beer sales have gone way up. Brett Hall is leading the way.
Yes.
Oh,
we're going to.
The drunkest man in America.
I don't know what. And he's a buddy of ours. You know him better than I do. Oh, did you play with him in Dallas? Were you there when he was in Dallas?
No, but my brother played with him in St. Louis. So
your brother was long gone. So the Blues win the Stanley Cup. The first time in, is it the first time in franchise history? They won the Cup?
Yeah, first time. Yeah. Yep.
So they were 50-some years from winning it. I don't know how long they've been around. Yeah. Which, of course, now leaves all the Toronto Maple Leaf fans who, longer time, they won the Cup in 67. But the Blues have won it in a less amount of time. So, but I loved it. I loved it. St. Louis won in it was game seven, right? Of course, it went seven games.
Yeah.
And these guys pulled off the impossible. We're talking about a team that was in last place in January. You know, the NHL season goes from October, the regular season, right till the end of April. And these guys halfway through the season were nowhere to be found. So they come back and get into the playoffs and then go on to win the Stanley Cup. It was incredible. Their goalie, the goalie, who I thought should have won the most valuable player of the cup, but they gave it to a forward. What's his name? O'Reilly?
O'Reilly.
Binnington, their goalie,
was
a fourth stringer man with that team.
Oh, my God.
To start the year.
He was a backup in the minors.
Incredible story. It gives everyone gives everyone a shot. But the highlight of for anyone, anyone who knows Brett Hall, I've told stories about Brett Hall before. You know, he's an incredible guy. He won a Stanley Cup with the Dallas Stars in a controversial call, foot in the crease rule that we don't want to get into now. That's not part of the deal. Wicked hockey player. He scored he scored 80 goals when Wayne got 92.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Absolutely hilarious guy. Speaks his mind. Doesn't give a shit who's in the room. Has no filter. Absolutely has no filter at all. Brilliant guy. Right. I used to see him walking around with the New York Times crossword puzzle under his arm while having a few drinks and banging this thing off. Anyway, he's been with St. Louis for how long now, Russ?
He was with Dallas. Yeah, he was with Dallas and then... Yep. Few years ago, he moved back to St. Louis. I don't know how many, but he's been with them for a while.
Yeah. So he's a front office guy. They win the cup. And like all celebrations, when teams win the championship, the Stanley, the NHL is no different. They have these parades, man. Okay.
Yeah.
Massive parades. There's a giant one that went on in Toronto today, albeit it's going to end in bad news, but the one in Toronto, the Raptors, before we talk about St. Louis, Russ, 2 million people showed up.
It was crazy.
I'm not lying.
I saw it on TV. Yeah, I saw 2 million. TV.
They had to close the subway system in Toronto.
Yeah.
They were 4 hours behind in trying to get the team to the stage to do this big celebration. So it was nuts. St. Louis looked like the same thing. So they've got everyone in the crowd. And well, let me just play this clip of Brett Hall, who got on stage and was hammered, no doubt about it, was absolutely hammered. And they were afraid he was going to get to the microphone, but he did. He did. take a listen to this clip right here.
Look at his t-shirt.
No one in the history could have imagined how this day would ever end. And guess what?
So there it is, Russ. What do you think, your old buddy Brett?
Well, you know what? When you win, you're allowed to celebrate.
Sure.
I remember we were in a restaurant in Montreal. I was playing for Bob Gainey and the Dallas Stars, and he took us to the restaurant. You could tell that Bob had had a few, and he was smoking a cigar. And one of my teammates said, "Bob, you looked a little drunk there." And he goes, "That's what you look like when you win the Stanley Cup."
Which none of us had. Yeah. If you couldn't make out what Brett was saying, because he's got the beautiful gravelly voice, everyone was cheering, "Let's go Blues." And he's saying, "No, we've already gone and we're back." Okay.
Yeah.
So
we went Blues.
Yeah, we went Blues.
Blues. Oh my God. I don't understand it.
It was beautifully real, man. It was beautifully real. You got it. You know, people are they're not in an outrage about it, right? The announcers sort of screwed it up. It's too bad they were doing play by play there and just would have let them go in that clip. But there's people who go, "This is, you know, crazy. He's so drunk, blah, 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 blah." You know, everyone gets a mulligan, Russ. Okay. It's like going to Vegas, Russ. Okay. Guys go to Vegas and they haven't been there before. They go out of their mind. Okay. They just go, "What? Okay. I get free drinks."
Girls.
Yeah. Guys and girls. And I remember the first time I went, I said, "Okay, it's free booze." And the guy goes, "Yeah." He goes like this. And he goes, "But you must gamble." I said, I got that covered. Okay. No. Okay. And you can smoke anywhere. So everyone ends up getting just trashed, right? The first time they go to Vegas, they can't believe it, but they get a mulligan. Brett Hall gets a mulligan here, folks. Okay. Yeah. He gets a mulligan. There's no problem with it. He's not out of his mind. He was drunk for sure. No, he'll be the first guy to admit it. But let's go easy on him. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was so real and fabulous.
One of the sports networks on the weekend said Brett Hull led all the St. Louis players this weekend in shots.
Beautiful. Oh, gosh. Beautiful.
Yeah, Kelly Chase was there too. Kelly thought it was his cup.
Oh, did he?
Chaser had it a lot. He was right there with Brett. He just didn't grab the mic, I guess, apparently, because we didn't see him on the news. But because
he's smart. Holly. Well, guys, like you played with Kelly Chase. He was a longtime Blues guy, tough guy. I love that for him and for Brett actually being in the front office. Darren Pang is another guy who went on to be a very successful color guy with the Blues. So there's many reasons if you're around hockey, even if you're not. I got to be honest, Russ, I got to be honest when the last game, game seven was done and St. Louis won, I have no affinity to St. Louis. I got no affiliation with them. I always, Russ, and you know this about me, I end up crying like a bitch at the end of the thing.
Oh boy.
You know what I get when they win the cup, Russ? I mean, come on, you know,
speaking of Vegas, they took the cup to Vegas. So, after the parade, they went to the locker room, showered up, got their clothes, and got on a plane, the whole team, and they flew to Vegas. So they're still there having a great time. And Scotty Upshaw, who used to play for St. Louis, he said he's my golf partner coming up next weekend in our golf tournament. And he said to me, Russ, I'm coming in hot. I'm coming in hot. I'm coming right from Vegas. I'm with the cup.
Oh no! Oh,
so he's there too.
He's coming. He's coming to Gozer with the cup. Where you are?
Yeah. No, he's not coming with the cup. Oh. But he's going to be my partner in the golf tournament here. From a member guest called the Revelry.
Oh, cool.
Humble brag. We won it last year.
There you go. Yeah. Not. That's not humble. Okay. That's a brag. Okay. It's not a humble brag.
Okay.
You got to talk, Russ, when you think back in your career. About crazy celebrations, whether it was Stanley Cup or not. I used to go to the Grey Cup is the football championship for the CFL. The Canadian Football League plays for a few months at the end of the summer till November. And my birthday is always on the weekend of the Grey Cup. My birthday is the end of November. And my folks used to give me tickets as a birthday gift because it was down east a bunch of times in Ontario and Quebec, in Montreal and Toronto. And my mother, Russ, had her black belt in partying, okay? My mother had her 10th Dan black belt in scotch and having a party. And my all-time favorite, my mom, God bless her soul, that's why I can tell this story now. We used to go, I'd go to the Grey Cup and I even went with my folks a few times and they would have, they remind me of you a little bit. If we're going to have a party, we're going to have a really good one. Yeah. And my mom and dad would have drinks for everybody. They'd get two rows of seats, you know, so there'd be 20 of us going to the Grey Cup. They got the seats all together. Then my dad had boxes of lunches for everybody and beer. You were allowed to bring booze in then back in those days. They'd let you bring it in. And they'd have a full bar set up in the stands. No one knew what the fuck was going on with the game. It was just a riot. My mother got annihilated. We're taking a subway home in Toronto. And back in those days, Russ, it was cool to have a fur coat. You can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But my mother had this massive raccoon coat on. And and all I remember, I don't even need to tell you the details of this. You just need to know the end where my father, while we're riding the subway, leans down and says, to my mother, Barry is her name. He said, Barry, I think you should get up off the floor now. Okay. I think come out. She's lying underneath the floor, fully conscious. Okay.
Oh God.
But she was so drunk that she decided to lie beside a homeless guy who was lying underneath the seats on the subway. Oh yeah. She goes, I'm just talking to this beautiful young man. That was the end of a celebrations. You must've been around a few, pal. You must have been around some crazy celebrations. Well,
As my friend says, every night is Friday night and Saturday's New Year's Eve. So yes, I have seen a few celebrations. My favorite celebration, I might have told the story, was when we unfortunately didn't win the bronze medal in the Olympics, Sarajevo, and we threw the best party the Olympics has ever seen inside the community when we, Kirk Muller and I, snuck 100 cases of Labatt's Blue into the our dorm. Oh, and no. Invited the entire, we invited the entire village on closing night to our 8-story apartment building, and it was completely full. So we didn't win a medal, but we won the prize for the best party ever.
What about, Russ, do you know any details about 100 cases of beer? That should be enough for us Canadians.
Yeah.
But it's not. But it's not. What about the story, Russ, in, I think it was in Nagano, when the Olympics were there.
Oh my God, when those guys ripped apart their rooms.
Tell us about that. The U.S. hockey team, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, interesting enough, when we beat the U.S. team in 84, I think it was the first game of the Olympics that year.
Yeah.
They ripped apart the shower in their locker room. They were so pissed off.
Of course they
did. And then in Nagano, they were throwing their furniture out the window and breaking stuff. And there's a bunch of guys' names in the media. I think they had to pay a fine or pay for the furniture. And yeah, they had an issue with furniture. They liked to break it, those guys, when they didn't win.
The Oilers, the Edmonton Oilers, who we often refer to, of course, because they were a beyond dynamic team. I think they were the first team to take the Stanley Cup when they won it. And now the Stanley Cup, folks, if you've never seen it, because we got listeners, Russ, in Europe and stuff, in Australia. If you've never seen it, it's a massive, massive cup.
Oh my God!
Okay, it's probably 4 feet high, I would think. I'm guessing. Anyway, the Oilers were the first team to take it into a strip joint.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yes. Oh boy.
My brother Jeff was on one of those winning teams.
And he was.
1988, and Jeff said, "These guys are crazy. You won't believe what they're doing with the cup." And Jeff wasn't a big partier back then. So he was dry. He had this van and he was driving guys around. So they loved Jeff because he was like their designated driver.
Sure.
So he calls me and he says, "You know what they did last night?" I go, "No, what?" He goes, "The bar, everybody was outside wanting to get into this bar." So they took all the furniture out of the bar into the middle of the street, and they made a big area, and they put the cup in the middle, and the whole freaking city was partying with these guys, and they were all sitting on couches and chairs from the bar in the street.
Yeah, crazy.
You guys, crazy. It's just nuts. Nuts.
I was on a boat. You can think of some others here while I tell the story. I was on a boat on the St. Lawrence River with Kevin Lowe, and we had the Stanley Cup. Oilers won it that year. He's from a little town called Lachute, Quebec. Yeah. And he brought the cup to town in this massive charity event and golf tournament. And we were clipping along the St. Lawrence with the cup going close to the shore. There's a bunch of bars that are along this portion of the river, you know, marinas, and everyone's sitting outside. Well, we started chugging along, you know, and showing the cup. And I was fucking hammered, okay? I was absolutely hammered.
Oh, boy.
And I started... you know, we were having fun and showing the cup, and people are screaming and stopping for pictures. And I started mooning people, okay, off the boat, right?
Oh,
I started dropping trow. Kevin gave me the, hey, knock that shit off. Knock it off. I said, oh, relax, just relax, okay? And I did it again, and he came over. My brother was on the boat with us, and he came over and said, you like to do that, do you? You want to do that? And I was like, oh, no. Oh, fuck, no. They took my pants off, my shorts, and my underwear and my shirt, completely naked. And they each grabbed one of my legs. They had one hand under my armpit and one hand on the leg. And they held me up, okay, like a trophy stag that they got in a hunt. And they spread my legs and cruised the boat. Okay, Russ, not only did the boat slow down, he just stopped it. He just stopped it. So I was bare balls to about 10 feet away. Yeah.
Good.
That was my Stanley Cup memory from doing that. So,
oh my God.
Anyway,
I heard a story about Mike Keane when they won it in Montreal.
Yeah,
they had a big party at Patrick Waugh's house, and he apparently, I wasn't there. He took the cup and he jumped in the pool And and there's a rod up the middle of the pool that, or up at the middle of the trophy that holds it all together because it's all the layers, right?
Oh, I don't
and
like
it snapped.
This.
And it snapped and yeah. it just all went, to, it all sunk to the bottom in pieces. And they're all, I guess they're all so hammered. No one noticed that he did it. And he just got out of the pool, toweled off and went back to the party. And about an hour later, someone said, "Hey, where's the cup?" They had a search party looking for the cup. They couldn't find the cup. And then finally someone looked at the bottom of the pool and there it was in pieces. So I don't know if that's true, Keener, but I that's what I heard.
We don't let facts get in the way, Russ, of a good story.
Yeah, no,
we don't let
no
facts
kidding.
Get in the way. I got hung over a balcony at a Stanley Cup celebration.
Fuck, they like to hang you up.
I'm that guy, right? I'm that guy. Yeah. I'm that. Everyone sits around. They're a little bored, okay? Everyone's getting whacked and having drinks. And then I've been around these things where they go for 5-6 days, right, before they sort of settle down to some sort of normal summer, okay, at Edmonton. Yeah. So you're just, you don't even know what fucking day it is. Okay. Excuse my light. You don't know what day it is. You've been up all night drinking like maniacs and we're sitting around Mess's place and Kevin's there and we're just exhausted. Right? We're just like, we're just lying there, but the party goes on, pal. Right.
Of course.
You can't be, and Mark says, "Let's hang Jerome over the balcony." And they did. Yeah, they did.
Oh God.
I started crying and they pulled me back up, you know, and that was, That was the end of it. You know, you brought up, I used to go to a bunch of events with my brother. You brought up your brother. The problem is my brother and I used to celebrate a lot, going to you know, playoff games and stuff like that. But we end up fighting. Okay.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And it, Russ, four years ago, okay, I would have been 52 years old.
Wow. Fuck, you can do math. That's impressive.
My brother's a year older. He's 53 at the time. We got in a fist fight.
No. We got in a fist fight. Oh, my God.
My brother and I got in a fist fight, and he beat the shit out of me. I think I sent you a picture of it years ago.
No wonder you quit drinking.
Do you get along with your brother?
Yeah, we get along great. I get along with both my brothers, Jeff and Bruce. Have a sister, too.
You never fought with your brother?
Oh, my God. So the last fight I had with my brother.
Now, understand. Sorry, folks. Just so you know, Jeff Courtnell played in the NHL for how many years, Russ?
He played 17 pro. Year and a half in the minors, I think. First year and a half, maybe two, the minors, and then he made it. But I was 18. He's 21. He was being a dick to me, or I was being a dick to him, and we started fighting in the kitchen. And my stepdad came in and he almost was in tears because we had ripped the kitchen apart and we're trying to kill each other. And that was, he got to us because he said, you know, he was crying and he said, "Your brothers, your goddamn brothers." And so I think we realized then that we shouldn't be fighting each other. And so we kind of, from that moment on, we never fought, but, yeah, he was a good guy. He is a good guy. Our stepdad was a great guy. He passed away a couple years ago, but he was the one who got us to stop fighting.
My brother and I fought. My dad was a piano player, and he had a beautiful piano all the time. He had a grand piano. My brother and I got in a scrap in the living room, and my old man came in, and he was like, "What the fuck's going on here?" Right? And my brother's hammer. Yeah. I lost every fight with my brother. He just go figure. And we fell and collapsed the piano bench, right?
Oh.
And that stopped all. And my dad said the same thing. "What's wrong with you guys? You're brothers." And my brother says, "I know, and I hate my fucking brother." Boom! And he flattened me.
Oh, boy.
So listen, what else we got, Russ, is it is the time of year, Russ. We were going to talk about Toronto, by the way. The Raptors won the NBA title.
Unreal.
I don't know if you have any connections with any of those guys because you know everybody in the world. And they had, speaking of celebrations, that seems to be the theme of the show today. 2 million people. 2 million unreal. People showed up
they just
downtown.
Shut down subway stations.
They shut so down the people. Subway station. The parade. I don't know if we did. I already mention this. The parade was four hours late.
You did. The four.
We talked about the top of the show.
Yeah.
And now I hear there was a shooting.
Did they die or
no? From what I hear, there were some. I don't know how it started. I don't know if it was police involved in it or anything like that. And obviously, an understatement is that's too bad because yeah, they've been doing so well. There were no arrests after Toronto won it. They won in Oakland when they beat Golden State.
Unlike when we frickin' when Vancouver lost to Boston and the kid, you know, the people, the derelicts went on a rampage and wrecked the city.
Yeah.
So everything was going really well in Toronto. We've, you know, got a lot of great police officers there, and it's just really unfortunate that some hoodlums were there and did so. I don't know what they did, but obviously if they're carrying guns, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough on guys like you and I who have a podcast that we want it to be funny. So, you know what I mean? So when you hear this shit, but what is interesting, Russ, about that celebration in Toronto? The U.S. Open was on this week for golf. Great, very popular victory. I'm not being funny. Gary Woodland won this thing. And there was a first major that he's won. Prior to this guy winning that at the Phoenix Open, there was a YouTube clip of Gary Woodland playing a practice round with Matt Kuchar. I don't know if you've seen this, Russ, on the 16th hole. And they brought a girl in who was a Special Olympian golfer.
Uh-huh.
Okay. She plays golf in the Olympics. She has Down syndrome. And they brought her in, and it was a beautiful, tender moment. Beautiful, tender moment. He brought her on the tee, and someone was sharp enough to video all this. And he said, "Do you want to hit a shot? We've got your clubs here." And she immediately, she's the cutest thing in the world, and said, yep, I got this. It's a par three. It's the famous par three at the Phoenix Open, which has an arena of people, literally surrounds the whole hole. She hit a shot and hit a pretty, knocked it into the bunker. And Gary Woodland's going, "You're awesome. This is fantastic." And she's waving to the crowd. She's going, "Look, they love me. They love me," you know, all the crowd.
I saw that. I did see this.
Did you see it? And then she gets it out of the bunker. Okay. Yeah. Hits a hell of a shot to about 10 feet. And Gary's going banana. He's like, "This is the best thing ever." And sure, you know, he says to her, he's going to line the putt up for her.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, I got this. If she doesn't make it and makes a par three. And I'm almost crying now when I tell the story.
Yeah.
And he wrapped his arms around her and he said, "You are, not only are you awesome, and this is from a professional player," he said, "you're an absolute inspiration, you know, an absolute inspiration." Gary Woodland went on to win the U.S. Open this weekend, and he kept referring to her by saying, I got this. There's a great Canadian story there, too, that Brendan Little, who caddied for Mike Weir when he won the Masters, is a Canadian guy. He's from London, Ontario, and he's now the caddy for Gary.
Nice. I met him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. But That YouTube video of Gary Woodland embracing this girl with Down syndrome had 20 million views.
Do you know that I watched this story you're telling, and I forgot who that was. I didn't know it was him. I just remember the story and how touching it was. And I watch golf, but I don't watch it like you. And that's what a wonderful story. You know, sports. You know, I guess all people, they don't just have to be an athlete, but it's nice when people go out of their way and make somebody like that feel like they're the most important person in the world. And it's so nice to hear that. And I'm a huge believer in karma. And here he is, you know, celebrating the big win. And maybe, you know what, maybe that moment made him put into perspective his life.
Yeah, obviously, you've got to look at it. Search up Gary Woodland, Phoenix Open, Down syndrome girl, or with Matt Kuchar was there too, and he was wonderful in that thing. I mean, unbelievable moment. The guy went on to win the U.S. Open. What I was getting at, Russ, is the two examples here, the 2 million people who showed up at the Raptor celebration.
Yeah.
And if you looked at the U.S. Open, it's jammed with people. Jammed. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been to golf tournaments before. I've been to the Masters. I went to the PGA last year in St. Louis when Gary Woodland or when Brooks Koepka won. And I went to the thing, but it's impossible to see a player. Okay.
Yeah.
Just like this parade. So it goes against the whole grain of of any sensible thing that you would do. And yet people, Russ, come in the millions to to be there, yet you're not going to be able to see a player. You're not going to be able to touch the guy. You can't get close to him. The U.S. Open's the same. People are 10, 12 rows deep holding their phone up so they can see the guy walk by, you know? Well, and it's like I could never get my head around it.
Yeah.
I don't have my head on my ass about this. So it's, what is it, Russ? The experience that people love? You know?
Well, there's stories of people selling their Raptors seats and going outside and partying with everybody in the Jurassic, what would they call that area? Yeah,
Jurassic
outside.
Park, because it's the Raptors.
Yeah, Jurassic Park. Yeah, I get that, but Jurassic Park. And people want to be in those moments, those experiences. I was at a USC-UCLA football game watching my daughter's boyfriend play, Eric Kendricks, before he got drafted by Minnesota Vikings. And we were at the game.
Yeah.
And there was people tailgating who didn't even go in and watch the game. They had it on TV in the parking lot,
right.
Barbecue and burgers.
Yeah.
And so there are those people that want to be as close to the moment as they can get. And whether it's a glimpse, fanfare, just being with people that other people that love that team.
Yeah.
I went to the Masters last year with my younger brother and we walked around and stuff. And I even at the Masters, I was watching a lot of it. Shocker, at the bar on TV. When Tiger Woods had his event at Sherwood Country Club where we live, I would go in the clubhouse because we get two free tickets to any golf event there. Nice. So I'd go out, I'd look on 18, whatever, maybe watch a guy tee off, and then I go right into the members lounge and I'd watch it on TV for 4 hours.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know.
But this is you and I saying, you know, I can't understand why people go down there, and you and I love a good party. And I love a good party, you know? I've got to admit, when I went to, when I went to my, to the Masters, I've only been once. I went in 2008, to Augusta. Trevor Immerman won it. And I grew up watching golf with my dad. Okay. And so my dad died too early. My dad died of Huntington's disease, which is a terrible genetic disease that it's a gross bloody thing. No cure, no treatment. And I always had a wish to take him to the Masters, Masters. And now I had the connections, I had the connections to do it. But he was just too sick, so I still went myself. And
selfish you.
Sorry, Dad. You're going to
my dying father. Sorry, Dad. I'll bring you back a hat if you're still alive.
I can't believe this.
Hopefully you're still here when I get back.
That's terrible, Russ. Anyway, so I scrapped my dying father, Dad. Someone else will look after you. I'm going to the Masters. Anyway, so I went down there, blah, blah, blah. I get there. And like I say, I grew up, the greatest memories I have with my dad is him teaching me how to play golf. Anyway, I'm walking to the golf course, Russ, and as I'm getting closer, I can't believe I'm there. I can't believe I'm in Augusta. And I walk through a gate, and it's on the back of the 16th hole at Augusta, the iconic par three.
Yeah.
And I break down. I absolutely went. So I kind of understand that people are going, like, you know, my mother would say, there's 2 million people, son. Don't go down there. You won't be able to see. And yet people go, fuck that. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know,
let's go, baby.
Hopefully.
Did you, just to back up on the crying part? Is that when your mom phoned you on your cell and said your dad just passed away?
This is nice. We're making fun of my dying father. This is terrible. This is terrible. Yeah. Back to my dying father. He was very funny. He was very funny. And he was on his way out. We were in the hospital, but he kept his sense of humor to the end. And he was looking at me with that sunken look, you know, that the poor people have. And he was so funny. And he called me and he said, I love you guys. My two brothers and sisters were there. And he goes, I love you guys. And then he says, your mother's a little dicey. But... I mean, you know, that was just hilarious. Anyway, God bless her. God bless our fathers. Before we go, Russ, we got a few minutes to keep our time. On a serious note about the hockey, okay, so it's NHL signings time now, okay?
Is it ever?
So, Russ, there was a thing they put in play, I'm being facetious now, called the salary cap to try and eliminate the you know, out of whack salaries that guys are getting. Eric Karlsson signs with San Jose. They were talking about him going back to Ottawa for you NHL lovers.
Yeah.
He signs an 8-year deal, $11 million per year. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, Russ, I was talking earlier. Did he get more than that? Okay.
Yeah, you got $92 million over 8 years.
Right. A lot of the time, $92 million bucks over 8 years. Yeah. Okay. So he gets a $4 or $5 million signing bonus. I don't know. A lot of the talk used to be, it doesn't happen as much anymore, Russ, is now the pundits come out and they pretend these idiots, I call them idiots, Russ, whether in the press or not, that they're gonna explain to me how much this is worth, whether it's worth $11 million or not. Okay. Mm-hmm. How do you know, Russ? How do you know? Yeah. Okay. What's going on here, Russ? I thought there was like,
well, they made a big trade for him, right? So they made a statement, you know, and they gave away some really big assets. So they almost are forced into signing him. I mean, he's kind of got them, like, you know, you guys traded for me, you paid this much for me.
Right.
And now they got to sign him, or it was all for naught. Right. So he's a hell of a player, and he's not the highest paid player, but he is third highest paid player in the league.
But Russ, I thought this was sort of, I thought years ago when they brought this in, that it was supposed to stop this crazy amount of dough that they're paying guys. Well, so if the salary cap, what's the salary cap, Russ? 70, 80 million? Is it 100 million now? I don't know what it is. Okay. Salary cap is exactly that the teams in the NHL are only allowed to pay so much money to the guys. There's a cap.
Right.
You can't go over.
Right. There's a minimum too. So the teams can't spend over the max and they can't go under the minimum. So it was brought in to babysit the general managers who were chasing players like New York Rangers who had all the money, and they used to, I think at one time their salary for their team was over 90 million. So the smaller markets could not compete. So if you look at what, since they brought in the salary cap, it's really helped. Now they still have guys making a lot of money, but they've been managing and it's been working. So
you like it then?
I like it a lot because as an ex-player, there's still guys making a lot of money and everybody's doing well. The owners are doing better. The players are doing better. And I think it's a brilliant thing that they worked out, and it took a long time to work it out, but they worked it out.
But doesn't this thing, Russ, harm the muckers? Like harm the, what's league minimum? Is it $700,000-$800,000 or something that you got to pay a guy? Is it $1 million?
I don't know.
Does it not take away, Russ, from the majority of the guys who've worked as hard to get in the NHL? I mean, I guess the reality of business is, Jim, fuck, the more talented you are, the more money you get, you know, duh.
Are you wearing a gray suit today or a brown suit?
Why? What's that mean? What does that mean?
Oh, fuck, you're going so far to the other side. I mean, come on. Hey, these guys... Yeah.
That's because you got fucking paid way too much money. That's why you're saying that.
No. All this happened after I retired. But
right.
Our era in the 90s is what triggered salaries to go up. But we could talk about that on another show.
Yeah.
But I have not – I've met a lot of players still playing the game, and I've not heard one of them say, we're not getting paid enough. Not one. And
I talked to them
at every level, you know, that the players at the bottom of the barrel to the guys at the top. And not one guy has said, you know, I'm not getting my fair share because of this guy. It's not the case, because they've worked out a system that works for everybody. So
what'd you shoot today in the golf course, Russ?
I didn't play. I actually went and did some yoga in town, and I was gonna play. Stop, but I'm trying to. You know, Jimmy, you haven't seen me in a while. I've lost a few lbs, so I'm
okay.
Because
I was gonna give you a zinger. I was, because yeah. I saw the last time I saw you were a little beefy. Yeah, you're
oh,
a little
boy. Oh,
you're a little boy. Beefy. And when every time you tell me you're going to a yoga instructor, I go, you should fire her because she's not very good.
or
you should get rid of her. She's not very good. Or you're only going for 30 seconds. Anyway, I'm golfing these days. Russ, this is golf. Love it. First round of golf I played last week. Shot 77. 93.
Oh!
93 today, Russ. Lost all the dough. Got clipped for 200. No. Yeah, lost all of it. It was terrible.
That sucks. I played yesterday with Coach John Cooper from Tampa Bay Lightning.
And, oh, cool.
I beat Coop for $5. I won on the last hole. I shot 89. He shot 90. And I was fortunate. I think I birdied. No, I parred 18 here at Gosser. So a nice little match with him. And he's off to the NHL Awards. We're all pulling for him. He's up for Coach of the Year. And so,
now that you bring that up, we got to ask.
Yeah.
So just to give you some background, folks, Tampa Bay Lightning were the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. They win the Stanley Cup, and they lost in the first round. How many games, Russ, did it go? I forget.
Swept. They got swept.
They got swept four straight. You just played a game of golf with the head coach of that team.
Yeah.
What did he have to say?
Oh, it got worse. We played golf, but I cooked at, I like to barbecue and cook. So we had about 25 people over for Father's Day and cooked. I did a big steak, barbecue, whatever. And Ray Whitney's house. So
yeah.
Barrett Jackman, who's another member here, played for the St. Louis Blues. He's not with the team anymore. And his wife comes in fresh off the parade.
Nice.
And she is telling us all about the parade. I'm sitting beside John Cooper.
Oh, no.
Having dinner. And and as he's cutting into his steak, he's almost cutting right through his plate going, would she please? I don't want to hear this right now. I don't want to hear this.
Oh, no.
I'm happy. Oh, yeah. So St. Louis, we have quite a few St. Louis members here there. So they're all rolling in from their trip. And so John Cooper got out of town just in time. He won't be back till July after rookie camp.
But did he say anything to you about the lopsided loss or anything? Did he make reference to it at all, or did you not go there?
He said, you know, every team has a song. And so he said, when they won a game, they play this song. And he goes, we played it, you know, I don't know, 16 times in a row, 12 times in a row or something like that going into the playoffs. He goes, I never heard the song in the freaking playoffs.
Oh, no.
And then, one more time. So it's so bad up here for John. We're on the fifth hole, and at the comfort station, we have these awesome comfort stations. You guys call them halfway houses. We have this comfort station on number five. It's all free food and booze and stuff. Yeah. So the people in front of us are blasting Gloria, the theme song from the St. Louis Blues. So
with John Cooper there.
He just couldn't get away from it. Yeah.
Oh, no.
He couldn't get away from it. And he goes, and that fucking song I've heard every day.
Oh, the poor guy. Now, this is a coach who, like you just said, he'll probably win the Coach of the Year award. That's how good he is. You got to have thick skin, Rusty. You want to soar with the Eagles here, pal. You got to be thick.
Yeah. I was gonna take the night off tonight and just take it easy.
Okay. Wait a minute. Whoa. You were gonna take the night off from what?
Yeah. What, having maybe a couple glasses of
there
wine.
We go. Yeah, okay. That's I thought.
But I just got a text from Wade Whitney. He goes, let me know if you feel like eating around 7:30, I'll bring a great bottle of wine. I go, sounds good.
Well, that's a good spot. I love, you know what? You know what our next podcast is going to be about? About 9 months in a row of you crushing fucking grapes. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, great show, Rusty. Go enjoy your bottle of wine. Terrific show today. And we're back every week. You've been listening to The Suspendables. With me, Jungle Jim Jerome, and Russ Cortland, we powered up. We've partnered with Global Story Network, who have a huge platform of podcasts. Check them out, and we'll be back with you next week. Go away, Russ. I'm sick of you and your holidays.
All right. Take care.
See you later.